It's so good to be here, ladies. So amazing, digging into the treasures in the Book of Ruth. So some of you have received little slips of paper and are receiving little slips of paper. They are things that you'll be reading from our second chapter of Ruth. So thank you all for being willing to do that and help me out. My voice is kind of, but it's fine. Praise God. So I'd like to pray also. Oh Lord, thank you so much for all the treasures that you give us in your word. Thank you for your huge heart of love toward us, that we can just keep digging into and never come to the bottom of it. Thanks for every lady here, Lord. Just speak to their hearts about your love for them. I know you will. Thanks for the privilege of being here. Amen. So let's start. I'm going to start back in chapter 1 of Ruth with the last verse. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in the late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, would the person that has Chapter 2, verse 1. Read it loud and clear.
It was Sarah, so I'm going to take her paper, and then I follow with verse
2. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech.
Good job. Not a name that we're really used to. So the name Boaz means strength. Good name. He was a wealthy farmer, and he had remained in Bethlehem during the famine. Remember that famine that drove Elimelech down to Moab? And with God's help, he had not only survived, but he had thrived. He was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. That's an important thing to remember, and you'll be seeing how that plays out in later chapters. So, chapter 2, verse 2.
One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead."
Thank you. So Ruth the Moabite, it's almost like this title, Ruth the Moabite. It highlights where she came from. So what about Moab? We've heard a little bit in our former studies, but how it started, that Moab was the offspring of Lot and his oldest daughter, as they were fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah, and they had settled in a cave. So not a wonderful beginning. But then the nation that grew from that beginning, they worshiped gods that were not Yahweh, the one true God. The main god that they worshiped, main idol, was Chemosh, or Chemosh. And his name means the subduer of the enemies of Moab. Sound warlike? Very warlike God. So success in battle was attributed to favor from him. And if they were defeated, then they said, Chemosh is not happy with us, his displeasure. And sometimes they were really seeking to gain his pleasure, so they would do human sacrifices. One example comes later in 2 Kings 3:27, when King Mesha, he sacrificed his son on the wall of the city when he was losing the battle against Israel, Judah, and Edom. So, pretty awful. And conflicts between Moab and Israel, as you can imagine, were common, including when Israel was coming from Egypt and going to the Promised Land. Then the king of Moab, named Balak, he paid the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. But God wouldn't let him do it. So that's in Numbers 22, 24, if you want to read about how that happened. So Moab was not kind to Israel at all. Kind of went both ways. Then later, Moab actually, God allowed them to subdue Israel. And Israel was paying tribute under King Eglon in Judges 3:12-30. And you can read about that there if you're curious. And then later still, Israel had control over Moab under King Omri in 1 Kings 16 and under King David in 2 Samuel 8:2 and 1 Chronicles 18:2. So all of those things kind of were happening over time. So keep that in mind when they're talking about Ruth the Moabite, because I'm sure some of those things are kind of going through people's heads. Although there was interaction, intermarriage, like what happened with Ruth. So then Ruth asked Naomi for permission to go glean in the fields. How did she know about gleaning? So, you know, I thought at first, well, maybe Naomi told her that it was possible there. But I'm reading further. In that whole area, it was a common practice that people that were poor could pick up things from the fields that were left. But the big difference in Israel was that their God told them to do it. He mandated it. It wasn't like, oh, if you feel like feeling generous today, let somebody have some of your harvest. He said, oh, let's see, it's in Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines. And do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Get this. Leave them for the poor and foreigners among you. I am the Lord your God. So there's no doubt about how God felt about taking care of the poor and foreigners. And Ruth's humble attitude just struck me when she said that she would glean of the things that were left by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. So she was really seeing the kindness of the people that were letting her glean. She had such a humble attitude and grateful attitude. It wasn't entitlement. Like, you know, well, God told you to do this, so you'd better let me glean from your fields. But I just loved that. And then Naomi gave her permission, but she called Ruth my daughter. So it's just a window into the close relationship that they have that I think started way back in Moab. It's really sweet. I kind of wonder, this is just speculation, if Naomi had some trepidation in her heart about letting Ruth go out, knowing that it could be dangerous if you're a foreigner and a woman. But anyway, we don't know that, but I wondered. So the person that has chapter 2, verse 3, read it for us.
So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech.
As it happened. I just love that little phrase. Because is that coincidence? No, no, no. It's God incidence. God working his plan. So obviously. Let's read on. Verse 4.
While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, the harvesters replied.
Cool. So there's another coincidence, in quotes. While she was there, Boaz shows up. I kind of imagine he had more than that one field. He was wealthy, maybe. And anyway, he shows up right then at the time when she was there. Talk about God's timing. I love it. And he speaks a blessing to his workers from the Lord. To me, that was just so sweet. I know it was kind of a customary greeting exchange too in those times, but there just seems to be more behind it, that he is just really blessing them. And he has such a positive, friendly attitude toward his workers. I mean, he's the big boss, and he could have stepped in and been saying, oh, you're not doing that right, and you're not doing that right, and how about over here? But he didn't. He just greeted them and blessed them. And then the workers reply. And they are blessing Boaz back. So it just kind of gives this flavor to the relationship with Boaz and his harvesters, that there was good feelings between them because of the way they interacted. Pretty impressive. All right. Who has verse 6 and 7?
And the foreman replied, she is a young woman from Moab who came back to Naomi.
I skipped 5.
Oh.
Oh. My bad. Thank you, Barb. I just went, sorry. Yes. Verse 5. Thanks, Barb.
Then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?
Okay, not yet. Not yet, Betty. No, you didn't know. I confused it. So, That's when, yeah, Boaz spied Ruth. But who does she belong to? What did that mean when he asked that? Well, in that area, what family you belong to was important. Does she have a husband? And even the nationality, I wonder if like her clothing was a little different, maybe jewelry she wore, or yeah. One thing I read said the Moabite clothing from some areas tended to be like brighter colors because they were near to trade routes where they could get different dyes. Anyway, he was just asking about Ruth. And now, Betty, 6 and 7.
And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter."
Yes. So Moab is getting the report on Ruth from the foreman, because he's a good boss and he likes to know what's going on. So it was common knowledge that Ruth had returned with Naomi from Moab. Middle Eastern cultures, they value loyalty, community, the cohesiveness of the community, group harmony, and interdependence, which is very different than northern cultures or other cultures like a lot of us come from. It's very into independence and self-sufficiency. But what can be the downside is everyone knows everyone else's business. So everybody knew Ruth the Moabite had arrived with Naomi. And then the foreman says, "She asked me if she could glean." Now, Ruth knew that she legally was able to glean. She could have just gone out and started working. But she went to the foreman and asked him for permission to glean behind the harvesters. And to me, that shows, again, that humble attitude of asking permission and just respect for people. So then, let's see. And then he says, "She has been hard at work," and gives the report. And that shows Ruth, another part of Ruth's character. Gleaning is hard work. It's not easy. I picked strawberries for one day and thought that was hard many years ago. But gleaning is harder than that even. So she had been just really working hard for herself, but also to bless her mother-in-law, Naomi. So that was just pretty neat to see. So, verse 8 and 9.
"But Boaz went over and said to Ruth, 'Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us. And when you gather grain, don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. And see which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water that they have drawn from the well.'"
I love that. I love that whole thing. So Boaz calls Ruth my daughter, which she wasn't by blood. But it's not unusual in that part of the world for someone to say that. It's kind of a fatherly, respectful, kind of protective attitude. And she was probably maybe in her 30s or 40s, kind of judging for how long she was married to back in Moab and all of that. And then he was probably closer to Naomi's age, maybe 70s, maybe 60, but big age gap. So he's kind of being appropriate about that. He was very protective of her. I'm sure you noticed, telling her to gather only in his fields. Other fields might not be so safe. And to stay with his young women workers. And he warned his male workers not to mess with her. That was great. So he provided her the means to drink freely from the water that his young men had drawn from the well. And yeah. So verse 10.
Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a poor man."
Yeah. And in that part of the world, that's a much more common thing to be happening. It's a gesture of extreme humility and gratitude in front of somebody or with somebody of greater power and authority and status. So it's kind of like you know you're at their mercy and you're grateful. The NIV says, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground." "And why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a stranger, a foreigner?" So she was very, very well aware of being an outsider. And as much as it was mandated in Israel to treat foreigners well, I'm sure there were still some of the not treating them so well going on when people weren't really following God closely. And she was very aware of his status, that he was the owner, you know, the boss. Boaz was probably aware that being a foreigner in Israel because his mother was Rahab of Jericho. So he grew up with his mom being a foreigner, even if she had been grafted into Israel and married his father, Salmon. So he was more sensitive, I think, maybe, to the challenges of Ruth's life and more sympathetic. Verse 11, who's got that one?
"Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers."
Wow. Yes. Once again, Ruth's character comes through in what is known about her, that she loved and supported Naomi and had left everything that she knew to come with her to Israel. Verse 12, who's got that wonderful blessing? Does anybody have verse
12? Would you like me to read it on the Bible?
You can, or I can read it.
I'll go ahead.
"May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." What a blessing. It reflects Boaz's goodness, his kindness, and that he was aware that Ruth had chosen the God of Israel and turned her back on the idols of Moab. So that was like just so amazing to me. Psalm 91:4 says, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. I just love that picture. All right, to someone. All right, Casey's got verse 13.
I hope I continue to please you, sir, she replied. You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers.
Great. By the way, I didn't mention it at the beginning, but all the translation these are all taken out of is the New Living Translation. So once again, by what Ruth says, it's just so humble, and it's so grateful. So she is just amazing to me and inspirational. And I'm glad my parents gave me her name for my middle name. But a lot of work to be done there. Anyway, what a beautiful section of the story of Boaz and Ruth. So some of the takeaways that I saw are that we see glimpses of God planning in his timing and his providence. Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. That was the first harvest in Israel. So they were right at the beginning. There'd be plenty of time for them to survive by gleaning. And then the wheat harvest came after. Ruth found herself in Boaz's field, as we said, to glean. Boaz arrived at the field when Ruth was there. And Boaz had grown up with a mother who was a foreigner, perhaps making him more sympathetic to Ruth's plight. Here's a question to ponder. We're not going to discuss it till the end, if you want to. A question to ponder is, have you seen God working in the circumstances of your life? Another thing that was really blessed me to see is that God's love for everyone is really evident. He welcomed Ruth, the Moabite, when she took refuge under his wings, giving her a hope and a future. This aspect of God's character is evident throughout the Bible. I'm just going to give you a few examples, and I'm sure you'll have plenty others that you think of. So in creation, all humans were made in his image. That's Genesis 1:27. The blessing of all nations through Abraham in Genesis 12:3. He said, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And we know that that foreshadowed the coming of Christ and his sacrifice for all of us. And he commanded his people to not treat foreigners poorly, but to love them as you love yourself. That's Leviticus 19:33-34. In the New Testament, Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well and with those in her village in John chapter 4, and Jesus' command to his disciples to make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28:19. Then we have the Apostle Peter's realization after his interaction with Cornelius, the Roman centurion, in Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. And then in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, it's a huge celebration and worship. Revelation 7, 9, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were worshiping. That's something so amazing to look forward to. Then another question that I have for you to think about is, how do we treat those from other nations or cultures that we interact with? And then finally, like Ruth fell at Boaz's feet, let's fall at the feet of the one who is so kind to us, who loved us before we belonged to him. Now here's my favorite part. Questions, comments.
Yeah, I got it. As you were reading verses 8 through 9, it was just kind of popping out to me how, you know, Boaz is considered, he's the kinsman redeemer for Ruth, and it's Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And that section right here where Boaz says, listen, my daughter, Christ calls us his daughter when we come
yes.
to him.
Yes.
And then he says, stay here in the field. He knows what's best for her as Christ knows what's best for us to stay right where we're at and to stay behind the young women, the ones that are older and mature in faith, to stay with them.